Hong Kong sees its biggest share listing since Anheuser-Busch InBev's 2019 float. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. At a time when investors seem to have a healthy appetite for new listings, Chinese video sharing app Kuaishou has put its hat in the ring, beating its biggest competitor TikTok's ByteDance to the market. The share price nearly tripled in its debut today, valuing the company at $159 billion. But what is Kuaishou? The BBC's Katie Silver explains.
Let me give you a visual. I'm watching a very sweet Chinese girl in pigtails playing her pink electric guitar. The word prodigy comes to mind. She's become big on the app Kuaishou, which people in China are spending a lot of time on. Think almost an hour and a half each day. At the moment, it's mostly short videos and streaming, but Kuaishou is moving more into e-commerce and gaming. So how does it make its money? Well, there are a few ways. Gamers can broadcast their play and receive virtual gifts from fans, which the app takes a cut of. It also gets revenue from users downloading mobile games through the platform. And it makes a commission when influencers live stream events where they promote and sell products.
家人们好,我是瓷砖琪琪。一个做实体的装修建材。
The app is growing quickly, which excites investors, but its users tend to be younger, less well-traveled, and have less money to spend, making it harder to make money from them. There are also headwinds from the Chinese government, which has been closely monitoring the live streaming industry, as well as imposing new rules late last year. And there's Douyin, TikTok's app for those living in China. It's Kuaishou's biggest competitor. Kuaishou hasn't actually turned a profit since 2017. Margaret Yang, a strategist at DailyFX, says this shouldn't put off investors.
Profitability is not a big concern for startups like Kuaishou in the early expansionary stage as they prioritize market share over monetization.
Still, Kuaishou has Tencent, one of China's biggest tech companies, as a part owner, and a successful IPO could help the app launch to the next level, in users and profits. I'm the BBC's Katie Silver for Marketplace.
Checking the numbers now, global stock markets are finishing the week on an upbeat note with an index of the world's 50 major markets in spitting distance of all-time highs. India's central bank kept rates on hold and vowed to continue stimulus measures to support the economy's pandemic recovery. Meanwhile, Russia's currency has strengthened as oil prices reach a one-year high today. Analysts say, though, the threat of possible sanctions over the detention of Vladimir Putin's sharpest critic, Alexei Navalny, is still weighing on sentiment. Well, the South Korean trade minister has withdrawn her candidacy for the leadership of the World Trade Organization. That opens the way for Nigeria's Ngozi Okonjo-Iweala to become its first woman and the first African director general of the organization. The BBC's Andrew Walker has those details.
The WTO member countries always try to make decisions, including the choice of a director general, by consensus. There was strong support for the Nigerian candidate, Ngozi Okonjo-Iweala, but at a meeting in October, the United States, still led by Donald Trump, opposed her, giving its support instead to the Korean. The selection process has, in effect, been suspended during the US election and the subsequent transition. Yoo Myung-hee has now withdrawn, saying she has consulted other countries, including the US. That leaves the Nigerian as the only remaining candidate, although the Biden administration has not indicated whether it would support her.
That's the BBC's Andrew Walker reporting there. Well, forget Paris or Frankfurt. It's Singapore and New York that Britain's financial services industry should be focusing on post-Brexit. That's the message from Barclays boss Jes Staley, who told the BBC that while some job creation has moved to the EU, Brexit gives one of the UK's most important sectors the chance to define its own agenda. The BBC's Simon Jack, who sat down with Mr. Staley, explains why the bank's boss sees Brexit as some sort of a benefit.
He thinks it's marginally more positive than negative, because although the EU is a big market, in the future, the main engines of growth, where the capital will flow, where the agenda will be set, are in the US and in Asia. So he thinks that unless the UK has the nimbleness, which it now has in a post-Brexit world, if it doesn't get this right, then actually it will start losing out.
The wealth accumulation in Asia is growing.
Increasingly, you have asset managers setting up offices across Asia. So the winner, if Europe and the UK pulled back, would be Singapore, Tokyo, Hong Kong.
Now, Simon, there's been a lot of talk that after Brexit, we could see a wave of deregulation here in the UK. But Mr. Staley told you that wouldn't necessarily be the best idea.
Yeah, this is one of the most interesting things, Victoria, because a lot of people have said you can go for light touch regulation. But when I put that to him, he said, I wouldn't burn a single bit of regulation. No bonfire for him. He says that actually some of the regulation that came in after the financial crisis have made his bank safer. It's made financial institutions safer. And that actually strong, robust, reasonable regulation was actually a bit of a calling card for London. So he is not in any hurry to rip it up.
The BBC's Simon Jack. Thanks for your time.
Thank you, Victoria.
Finally, it's no secret pubs and restaurants have sustained quite a big blow during the pandemic as lockdowns forced them to close for dining in. Now the British Beer and Pub Association has put a number on some of those losses. It estimates up to 87 million pints of beer will be thrown away as a result of pub closures. That's enough to fill 20 Olympic swimming pools or 495,000 bathtubs. In London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.